Also, I want to give you an update on Acts 4. So if you don't know what we're doing with Acts 4, Acts 4 is where, well, just read Acts 4. You'll know what we're doing. In Acts 4, what would happen is as people, they would sell a property or they would take some money and they would bring it to the apostles' feet, and the apostles would then distribute it as to those as they had need. What we're doing here is, as you get a couple of bucks ahead, donate into Acts 4, and then when we get to $2,500, we pay off somebody's credit card or pay down somebody's credit card. So we're carrying one another's burdens in our heart. That's a good thing. We've already paid off two credit cards. Yeah, that's pretty sweet. And three? Three. I'm behind one. And we are, I think with this, we're about halfway to going to number four. So, don't be afraid, right? Don't be afraid to give. God loves a cheerful giver. Also, Pastor Simon is with us today. And so, if you would like to give to his ministry, you know where the basket is. If you'd like to give online, you could do that too. Just write on the envelope, it's for Pastor Simon, and we'll see that the ministry gets all of that. All right, with that, brother, you want to come and share with us? Gonna have to make some. Let's see here. We gotta unmute the pastor. And you will need this.
Yes. Yeah, thank you.
All right.
Yeah, thank you. I am so much thankful to the Lord for this great opportunity to come to the house of God. While coming here, a famous quotation has come to my mind. Ishmael Agnan, who won the Nobel Prize for Jewish Literature, Ishmael Agnan, he said something like this. He said, "Mystery upon mystery. Indeed, it's a puzzle. When you come to the city of Jerusalem, it was empty." I want to repeat this word. Mystery upon mystery. When you come to the city of Jerusalem, it was empty. But I went to the synagogue, it was full. I felt this morning same here. I came to this great country, it was empty for me. When I come to this house of God, sitting and listening to the worship, it's fullness. House of God, where we get the peace of God, we get the presence of God, and the providence of God, and the voice of God. I am so thankful for all of you. We say in India, if two Christians meet in India, we say, "Praise the Lord." This is the way we say, "Praise the Lord." I want to greet you all. Praise the Lord for all of you. If two Hindu people meet, they say, "Namaste." So I say, "Praise the Lord," and also "Namaste." This morning, I was thinking about a story several years back. Two pastor children were quarreling among themselves whose father is the best preacher. One fellow said to the other fellow, "My father is the best preacher in the world. He goes to the pulpit and gives a great message without notes." Other fellow said, "Nothing. My father goes to the pulpit, even gives a greater message, even without thinking." So this morning, I am like the third pastor. I have to give a message without notes and thinking, but under the unction of the Holy Spirit this morning. I was wondering why I came to this city. My reason to meet you all and Pastor Rod. The beautiful worship this morning. In India, usually We start our meetings late in the night and would go up to the morning. So don't be afraid that I would not keep that long. I wanted to give one Bible verse this morning that what the Lord has given to me. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. This verse is coming to me time and again as I was sitting here, as I was speaking to the Lord, as He was speaking to me. This verse is coming to my mind time and again. I want to read in my ESV, Ephesians 2:22. In Him, you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. So this morning, on this Lord's Day, I just want to give an encouragement to all of you that we are the dwelling place of God. Several translations have used it, several meanings. Some translations said, holy temple of God. Some translations said, habitation of God. But this is the dwelling place. I mean, God has kept each one of us to be a dwelling place. God is dwelling in you and in me. The message is same. 2,000 years back, the same message is there. The messengers can be different. It could be Paul, it could be Peter, it could be Simon or James, or not anybody. But the message is that we have the builder and God wants us to be a part of the building because He is preparing a building in the celestial city. I was fascinated the way Paul was putting in his Ephesians. In 6 chapters, he was emphatically saying the importance of the church, the ecclesia. Church is an important thing. We come to the church, which is the house of God. God had made you and I as the habitation of God. So this is the house of God. And you and I are the partakers in the house of God. Coming to this, I mean, Ephesians, no, church is an important thing for Paul. He was saying, chapter 1, he was saying that church is the body of Christ. Chapter 1, the synopsis. Chapter 2, he was saying church is the dwelling place of God, habitation of God, holy temple of God. The third chapter, he was saying church is the fullness of God. This morning, we could see the fullness of God in the house of God. And in the fourth chapter, he says, church is the fullness of Christ. And in the fifth chapter, he says, church is the fullness of the Spirit, Holy Spirit. And church is also the bride of Christ. And final chapter, Paul was saying, sixth chapter, church is the place where God is giving to us the whole armor of God to fight the battle. I'm so fascinated to be a part in the church of God. I believe that each believer, many times in this modern age, in the civilized age, that no, we miss the fellowship of the church, and church is very, very important. So this morning I was thinking about that. We are the dwelling place of God. I want to tell my story also, how the Lord has saved me, how the Lord has made me as a living stone, how the Lord is building me to be the house of God. I was born in a very godly family. My grandfather was the pastor. My father was a pastor. And American Baptist missions have come to my country. And I preached the gospel. And so I was a born Christian. But when I was born, in the American Mission Hospital in a place called Vijayawada, I declared as a dead child. They kept me in the place where they keep the dead children in the American hospital. And Dr. Berghal was the superintendent. My mother and my father were praying in the hospital. And the doctor was asking them, my father was a pastor, he was a translator, he was a learned man. He said, Pastor, your child is dead. There is no need for you to pray because he's already dead. But still, my parents were praying. The church was praying in those days. And third day, Dr. Berghal was counting how many children died. To his surprise, it seems, I opened my eyes. He was taken by surprise and he said, the child has life, but there is no enough oxygen going to his heart. And they put me in the incubator for several days and finally I came to life. Seeing death and life oscillating. But the doctor said to my parents, no, now I believe that your prayers is answered. But he said one thing, a tragic thing. He said, he would not live for more than 12 years. If at all he lives, he would be mentally or physically ill. I am 70 years now. I am not mentally or physically ill. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So this is my story that my mother told in my whole country. My father died when I was almost 6 years. My mother was a widow. She was a very poor woman. And we were 6 members. She was a widow. She was a Bible woman. Goes to house, village to village, preach the gospel, tell the people. But what she used to do, she used to bring all the people to the house, beggars and lepers and street children, sing about Jesus, and she used to give food for the people. I thought my mother is crazy. When we don't have much, why she should call all the people? I was 6 years. That has revolutionized my thinking. That story has revolutionized my thinking. So her faithfulness has become the creation for so many missions in India. Many Christian missions have come to existence. So that was the beginning of my story. But I went to the university. I don't want to become a pastor. I have seen pastors are very poor. My grandfather was a pastor. My father was a pastor. My mother was a Bible woman. There are poor people. I don't want to be a pastor because they are very poor people. I wanted to study well. I wanted to become a scientist. I wanted to get more money and give to the people. I went to the university and I was a brilliant student. I am writing an examination to become a district collector. That day, my mother came to the university and said, son, we have dedicated you for the ministry. When you are dead in the American Mission Hospital, me and your dad have dedicated the ministry. If you want to live, do the work of the Lord. If you do any work other than the ministry, you may not survive. So that fear of death has brought me fear of God. So then I thought to myself, okay, let me do the ministry so that I can live. She told me, on that particular night, I could able to see that how I was born dead physically in a dream, in the hospital, in the incubator. Then I said to the Lord, Lord, I want to live for you. As long as I live on the planet Earth, I want to live for you. I don't want to become, my mother said, I don't want my son to be a judge or a district. I want to be a servant of God. You should become the servant of God. That was the beginning of my story. And my mother's seed has given inspiration to start many orphanages in my country. At one stage, we were caring for 5,000 children in the country. 5,000 children. Parentless, fatherless, motherless children. So 24 children homes throughout the country. And 5,000 children were being educated, rehabilitated, and serving for the Lord. So this is the humble story of a poor widow. Her prayers are being answered. Things were going very great up to COVID. And in the time of COVID, everything was devastated. We have lost people. Churches were closed down. We work with the poor people. We work with the poor. When I say poor in India, the poor people are real poor. They have to work. They have to go and work for the day. Once they go and work, when they come back with the wages, they have to buy rice and cook food. This is the poverty of the poor people. We work with the poor people and they are receptive to the gospel. The poor people are receptive to the gospel. So COVID has devastated everything. Almost 3 years, 2.5 years, it was a law to close down everything. Schools were closed down. Factories were closed down. Every livelihood avenue was closed down. So people were dying without proper medication. In India, we don't have the medical insurances. The rich people can go to the hospitals, but the poor people, they have to go to the government hospitals. There is no enough oxygen cylinders. There is no enough facilities, but many people, I have seen people dying in front of me. Even my own assistant pastor, Ramesh, also died of COVID. But I want to tell, even in the devastation, Lord's name is being glorified. Lord's name is being glorified. It was the small people in India, it was the small minority Christians in India, they have done extraordinary work in the COVID time. So all the dreams were shattered, our plans were shattered, everything was gone. So we are now restarting everything. Now we have 10 children homes and we're taking care of 200 children. Fatherless, motherless. And we also take care of the widows, because a widow in India will be a widow forever. The Hindu casteism says it's a curse. So we are trying to educate them and we are trying to bring them back to the compound. We started a sewing school for them. We're giving a sewing mission for them so that they would go back to the community and live with dignity and honor. This is the success story of an ordinary person born to an ordinary poor widow. And this is the things the Lord has done in my country. This is about my life story. So I came to this country to tell that, no, God has kept me alive to be a witness, to be a habitation of God. These are words that I just wanted to came to my mind. We were once forsaken people. We were neglected people. Now, God's word says, we are the partakers in the promises of God. What the Lord has given to the Israelites, the Lord is giving to the church now. We're the partakers of the promise. So this word is coming to mind. It says, no, in Him, you, we can put our name there, are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. It is one of the most fascinating theological sentences. God the Father is there. God the Son is there. God the Spirit is there. Most theological statement. And God wants you and I to be a dwelling place of God. It's a dual habitation. God is living in us and we live with the Lord. And this is my faith. People ask me, what is the faith? My faith is that my Lord has forgiven my sins. My faith is that my Lord is with me. My faith is that He is coming here to take me. That is my faith. That is my faith. And God wants me to bring many people to the building of God, to be a holy temple of God. Everyone here has a responsibility. Every Christian on the planet Earth, every believer has a responsibility. He says, no, we are being built together. That means a responsibility God is giving to us. India is a great country. We have 22 languages. We have 2,000 dialects. We have 3 million of gods and goddesses. 1.445 billion. We're first in the world. We outbeat China. A complex country. A complex cultures. Many gods. Sometimes people ask, which god to follow? Which god to follow? Anything can be a god. A monkey can be a god. Stone can be a god. So, we are there. We have a fundamental anti-Christian government, and our government is taking pride to stop the work of the Lord. The more persecution you can see, what's happening even today. In a state called Manipur, they burned 45 churches in the last week. Anti-conversion laws are there. We cannot go and preach. But still, in spite of all these things, God is bringing living stones to be built a habitation of God in India. God's kingdom is being expanded in India day by day, day after day. I just want to tell this story because no. And here Paul was saying three things here. What are the privileges that we get once we become the habitation of God? So in this 6 chapters of Ephesians, Paul was saying almost 3 important things, 3 biological things, what we do every day. Sitting, walking, and standing. Emphatically, Paul was saying, sitting, walking, and standing. I was sitting here and listening to the beautiful music. I felt the presence of the Lord. God has given us the great privilege. And Paul was saying here, beautiful word, chapter 2, verse 6, and raised us up with Him and seated us with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What a fascinating, glorious statement this morning. Paul was using beautiful words here. Riches of grace, riches of glory, riches of immeasurable riches of Christ. God has given the greater rich for us, salvation. Holy Spirit saying here, once we are born again, it says, we are seated with Him, with Christ Jesus, in the heavenly places. Sometimes we wonder, even though God has chosen us to be a holy temple, we always think, is that true? Is that true in my life? Why am I not successful? Why am I not flourishing? Why the people, ungodly people, are very successful in my country? But God is saying, no. Christian, we said a word when we're doing funeral in the COVID time. I was doing funerals for many Christians. I say, this brother, this sister is promoted to glory. When I say the word glory, The police officers were there. They were not happy. They were saying, when the people are crying and weeping, you are saying glory. What do you mean by glory? I said, no, Christianity, death is not the finality. We are just promoted to glory. We close our eyes here, we open there. Dr. Billy Graham said a beautiful word. He said, Christians have hope beyond the grave, for they enter into the glory of God's tomorrow. So, our life is seated with Christ, and God wants you and I to be the habitation of God. And our responsibility, Peter was saying, we are holy nation. People belong to God, royal priesthood. And God has given many titles with one responsibility, to proclaim the qualities of the Lord who has called you and me from darkness into His marvelous light. What a great titles we got when you come to the house of God. The house of God, Bethel, house of God. Jacob's life, he was a traveler, he was a deceiver, he was a sojourner. But when you come to the chapter 35 book of Genesis, when he's come to the Bethel, his name is changed. His character is changed. His perception is changed. His projects are changed. And his life has been changed. And he's become the Prince of God, Israel. The greatness of a part in the house of God. So the importance of the church. I always encourage people, church is the house of God. Church is the body of Christ. Church is the dwelling place of God. Church is the fullness of God, fullness of Christ, fullness of Spirit. And here we get the voice of God. The message is same. 2,000 years. So the first thing Paul was saying, we are sitting. We are seated now. This Lord's Day, sometimes we get discouraged with so many things in this complex world, in this fearful world, in this uncertain world. But this morning, Holy Spirit speaking to us, you know, we are being seated in Christ Jesus because we are the habitation of God. And second thing was saying, walking. He was saying very clearly, walking not as Gentiles, not as the people from the world. You and I are supposed to walk in love, in holiness. That's an important thing. Salvation, sanctification, glorification. These three things are important for us. So, this morning I just want to encourage you that no, you and I are not ordinary persons. We are not simple people. God is giving us a big title that, no, you are the dwelling place of God. God the Father, God the Spirit, and God the Son. So these three are there in this simple sentence. I was reading this verse. No, what a Trinitarian concept. What a theological concept. So he was saying, we are sitting with the Lord this morning. Is here. His presence is here. His peace is here. The voice of God. As I said in the beginning, no, the message is same. The messenger could be different. The message is same. He is the architect. He made us as living stones to be a part of the building. And the message is that He is building a house for us in the celestial city. This morning, I was thinking about myself. Sometimes, no, do I walk? Do I sit according to the God's standards? Being caught up in the missions and ministry, several times, no, We preach from this village to that village, travel from this place to this place. So several times we are so busy, and sometimes, you know, we don't find time to sit with the Lord. So this morning God is reminding that we need to sit with the Lord. Somebody asked me, which Bible college you studied? I told them, very funny answer. I said, I studied in St. Mary's College. They were asking me, is it a Catholic college? Catholic college? No, at the feet of Jesus. There is no need to have greater theological understanding. There is no need to go into, dig into Hebrew and Greek. God made very simple. The message is very, very simple since ages. You are a living stone. You are a part of the building. I am going to prepare a building for you. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. After this earthly building is shattered, third thing you say, sitting, chapter 2, verse 6, seated with him. Second one, walking, says no, chapter 4, 17. And finally, standing. Verse saying, chapter 6, verse 11, it says no, putting on the full armor of God and fight against the devil and the principalities of darkness. These three requirements, when you and I could do that, then you and I could become the habitation of God. So this morning, I just want to remind you to pray for my country. There are so many challenges. There are so many struggles. There are so many need people. We lost so many people. I always say one word when people ask me, we have lost many soldiers, but we have not lost the battle. The battle is still there. God's kingdom needs to be expanded in India, and I'm thankful to come and share my story here. In Him, you and I are being built together. God has kept you here in the state of Phoenix, Arizona, with the responsibility that we need to bring the people to the house of God. In India, people say that it is the job of a pastor. No. People say, that's your responsibility, pastor. No. It is the responsibility of every believer who has transformed as a living stone, because we are the building of the Lord. Lord is staying with us. So sitting, standing, and walking. May the Lord bless each one of us. And if you want to, any questions, I would like to answer, pastor. Is there time? If you have any specific questions, you need to ask about my life or ministry or the challenges, struggles, I would like to answer. I will take 10 minutes time, and if you, any questions you would like to ask me. Yes. Yes, they are putting anti-conversion law in almost 7 states of North India, which means if you are found preaching in the street, they can put you in jail without bail. Yeah. You can just Google down and see the state of Manipur. In the last week, they burned 45 churches last week, Manipur. But the good news is that every day a new soul is being added to the house of God. I want to sing one song for you and then I'm done. Okay. Sadhu Sundar Singh. One of the great saints from India, Sadhu Sundar Singh. He was from the Sikh community. He was searching for God. You want to know who is the real God? He burned the Bible, and one day he was praying in his room to his God. I want to know who is the real God. If I do not know the real God, I would kill myself. Then the same night in Punjab, the Sikh community, Jesus appeared to him, flashlight. That flashlight changed his story. And he put on a saffron clothes with no sandals, with a New Testament, and he traveled throughout the world. He wrote the song, "I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back," in Hindi. He was my inspiration. He lived 100 years back. Sadhu Sundar Singh. God has brought so many saints in India, and many or millions are turned as the living stones to be a building habitation of God. I want to sing this song in my language so that you will understand. Yesu ne nenu vembadinchedanu. Yesu ne nenu vembadinchedanu. Yesu ne nenu vembadinchedanu. Venu tirugano. Na mundu siluva, na venuka lokam. Na mundu siluva, na venuka lokam. Na mundu siluva, na venuka lokam. Venu tirugano. Thank you, and God bless you all. Praise the Lord.
Questions are always hard because you don't know what you don't know. There's no reference. Right? Thank you, brother. Thank you for coming. Some of the challenges that their ministry is facing going forward is, you know, we send money, we try to, but the government shuts it down. Every time we try to get money, and they keep taking ways to shut it down because they're not happy with Christians. Now, so we will keep working.